Golden State Media Concepts Baseball Podcast. We cover everything Major League, from spring training to the World Series. We've got your favorite club covered, from New York to Boston to LA. This is the Golden State Media Concepts Baseball Podcast.
What is up? Welcome to the GSMC Baseball Podcast on a Wednesday today here, the post-deadline day, post-trade deadline day show on the GSMC Podcast Network. As always, we are sponsored by that lovely GSMC Podcast Network. As my name is Tom Doherty, your host, as always, as we are going to go over all of the ins and outs of the trade deadline. Who was moved? What are the... I mean, we didn't really have any huge names. I wouldn't say huge names. It's kind of earlier, like with your, obviously, your Machados and a Cole Hamels moving and a J-Hap and a, and this and that going. But you had some moves. You had some contenders. I mean, in the American League, you have two teams that are pretty much on the outside looking in, that have a chance to at least get in, and that's the Mariners and the A's. Everybody else is kind of selling and trying to get as many, reap as many prospects as they possibly can from those big teams right now. You saw a lot of interdivision trades before the deadline. We went over that a little bit on Monday, and then we'll also, I'm going to give you all the trade, the trade trackers. Actually, this segment, we're going to kind of flip it up. Usually with the third segment, like we do usually, we're going to, we kind of do our general talk in the third segment, and we do the game coverage in the first two segments or so. We're going to push that off. We're going to do the talk now, and the trade talk now, and then we'll cover the games from Monday and Tuesday in the next segments. And then, of course, the last one, we'll go over the games coming up this week. Going right into it, I mean, we had Brian Dozier going to the Dodgers. I mean, I'm going to get all these trades exactly especially with what went back the other direction. Obviously, there's always the names of who and what, who and what came over, what big names are coming over, but which names are going back the other way, as far. So, this was, I mean, as we were approaching the deadline, like I said, trade. So we had Brian Dozier going over to the Twins. Twins get Ryan, Logan Forsythe, and they get two, left-handed reliever, or left-handed minor leaguer and an outfielder. And then also the major leaguer they get is Logan Forsythe. The Diamondbacks did trade for Jake Diekman, the left-handed reliever from the Rangers. So kind of up and down year. I think switching leagues for him is going to be a good thing. Getting some fresh eyes, or at least guys that haven't seen him as much, as he can kind of, he can be very good or it can be kind of rough going over there. So the Diamondbacks get Jake Diekman. The Brewers, an interesting trade here. So the Brewers traded for Moustakas. So they just traded for Moustakas to play third base. And then you have Travis Shaw, who played third, who used to play third base. Now Travis Shaw is going to play second, it looks like. And then you just signed Jonathan Scope. I think, and their outfield is pretty good. So you already have Braun and Yelich and Kane. I'm just trying to think of what they're going to do. Aguilar is good. You have Scope play shortstop. I mean, I don't understand what they're kind of going for here. There wasn't really a shortstop out there. Unless Scope can play shortstop. If Scope plays shortstop, they're fine, because Scope can play shortstop. If they have Arcia out there. They're kind of platooning their shortstop a little bit right now. The Brewers are. They actually did win again yesterday in L.A. I think they've won two in a row, or at least they won two in a row. They did drop the last game in San Francisco, taking 3 out of 4 from the Giants. But they did get, I think, the first game and the second game yesterday and Monday in Los Angeles. So I'm trying to see who played shortstop for them yesterday, because that game, I mean, if they can get, like I said, Scope's a second baseman, but he's one of the bigger second basemen in the league. I'm sure he has a good enough arm. They beat them 1-0. Lorenzo Cain double. Brewers had Arcia. Yeah, so they had Arcia playing shortstop for them. I'm sure if Scope comes in and he's okay with playing shortstop, I'm sure he's going to go right there as Orlando Arcia is not your... He's hitting 196. I mean, there you go. Maybe that's probably why you go get a Jonathan Scope after even getting a Moustakas, as the Brewers are really pushing. I bet you, because the Brewers, their thing is they don't want to play the wild card game. That's the last thing they want to do, is play that wild card game, especially against a Diamondbacks team that has a Zach Greinke or a Rockies team that has a good... the Rockies, who would they put in that wild card game? I'm trying to think. Would it be Kyle Freeland? Kyle Freeland would be that probably the guy for the Rockies. I mean, the Rockies in a wild card game, I wouldn't want to have them at all, because they could just blow you out of the water with their bats anyways. Fortunately, it probably wouldn't be... If the Brewers were to play in a wild card game, it probably would be in Milwaukee, but still, that park is very... I mean, it's not mile high, but it's still a very, very friendly hitter's ballpark. So I'm not surprised the Brewers trying to shore up that that infield, that lineup a little bit more, getting a Jonathan Scope, who's just been on an absolute tear. I don't know if changing the... Changing leagues for him might be a bit of a hiccup, but you never know. Another interesting trade that the Pirates made. The Pirates, another team trying to shove their way into the conversation for the playoffs, is Chris Archer, who has years on his deal left, which required the Pirates to send back one of their more highly touted... I wouldn't call him really a prospect anymore, because he's been playing in the league for a little bit. He's playing, starting a lot for the Pirates this year and having a pretty good year, actually. That's Austin Meadows, their outfielder, who can play pretty much any outfield position, it looks like, right now, as he's been been playing well for the Pirates, but he's now going to be in Tampa Bay. And the thing about Tampa Bay is they seemingly win every trade they make. I don't know what it is. Maybe not the ones... I know they traded Longoria, they traded Matt Moore away. I don't know how Matt Duffy and I think it's that those are trades they made with the Giants, and I know who they sent back over, and Christian Arroyo was one of them. I think Denard Span actually was in that deal for Longoria, and he actually was playing pretty good for the Rays before they sent him to Seattle in a trade with the Mariners, but... And he still plays for the Mariners now, too. Darn Span does. Another a team that could be making the playoffs this year. Thinking about what the Rays are doing, that's not a bad move. I mean, you get Austin Meadows is a darn good player. You flip Chris Archer, and you think that you're just going to run with Blake Snell. Chris Archer hasn't really had... He's been injured kind of this year. But, I mean, the Pirates, they went all in right there. They give him a good outfielder and a good reliever. Tyler Glass now also goes over to the Rays for Chris Archer. So, I mean, sometimes it's the name looking at it. Oh my gosh, they traded for him. But then also the name's going back over to the other team that's selling. It might be a win there for... I mean, the thing is, Chris Archer is under contract, I think, through 2021, I want to say. Looking at his contract really quickly here, pulling it up. I guess the Dodgers kind of did want him, but maybe the Pirates got him to keep him from the Dodgers. I want to look at his contract, as he did sign a 6-year deal, 6 years, $25 million. So it's cheap. It's a cheap contract. He signed through the play. So he has the team. Is it a player option or a team option? I know he's a free agent in 2022, but I'm not sure what. Yeah. So through 2021, he is under contract. It looks like, I think there's a team option for the buyout. Yeah. So it's a buyout for after 2020, so the team can decide to buy him out after 20 or after 2019. So the options start in 2020. Okay, but yeah, I think they're team options, and if you don't want to pick it up, he still gets $1 million. There you go. So for Chris Archer, not a bad deal. Honestly, not a bad deal at all for the Pirates, because they could honestly just... They could decide if he pitches this year, he'll pitch next year for them, and they don't want him anymore. They could pay him $1 million or $1.75 million to leave, and that'd be fine, and not have to be saddled with the $8.25 million that he's due for 2020 and 2021 each year. So they're just looking at the business side of it. Of a trade, sometimes you want to look at, especially with guys that are being traded with that have years left on their contract, and that's why you probably ought to throw an Austin Meadows in there to get an Archer. If you're the Pirates, remember the Pirates are a team that, oh, they're selling everybody. They're getting rid of Garrett Cole. They're getting rid of McCutcheon. Well, they're there. They just won 11 in a row. I know they're kind of hitting it, especially with some of these other teams hitting the skids a little bit. I know it's in the other division, unfortunately, in the East, but you never know what teams can fall out of the playoffs in the wild card, like the Braves. You never know, or there's teams. I mean, there's like I said, there's eight teams in the National League. They're within six games of the second wild card. Even though the Nationals are under 500, they're still technically, I think they're 7 or 8 games back. Giants are 4.5 back in the wild card. Pirates are there. I'm giving you a little update here because, I mean, it's not, you want to look at the trades and also look at where these teams that are making the trades are. Dodgers made a trade for Brian Dozier. They're in first place. They're not in first place. They're in the first wild card right now. So as the Diamondbacks actually did leapfrog into first place of the in the National League West with the win, and the Dodgers have actually lost 3 in a row. So the Dodgers are sitting in the There's actually 3 teams tied right now for the second wild card, and it's the Braves, Dodgers, and Rockies are all tied for the third wild card, for the second wild card. With the Pirates 3 games back, the Cardinals are 4.5, Giants are 4.5, and the Nationals are 5 games back. So you, I'm saying, you still have 8 teams that are within 5 games of that second wild card. 8 teams in that conversation, and of those 8 teams, you had the Pirates make a move. The Rockies, I think, made a move. The Braves have made moves. And then the Cardinals made moves as well, in different directions. The Giants did not make any moves. And obviously, the Brewers made a lot of moves. Brewers made a lot of moves over this trade deadline stuff. So going back to the actual deals that were made, the Dodgers also did acquire John Axford from the Blue Jays. The Mariners got Cameron Maben. Actually, this was a guy who was really connected to the Yankees a lot. There was conversation that he might be headed to New York, but the Mariners get Cameron Maben for Bryson Brigman, who I think I played a little bit. I think I played pony ball against him. No way. I think that's got to be a different guy. maybe not. I don't know. It'd be crazy if that guy got drafted because he was really good. But I see that name. I'm like, oh my gosh, is that who I think it is? I don't think so. I'm trying to look it up here. I think it actually is him. Where did he go to high school? If he went to high school in San Jose? Yep, that's him. Oh yeah. Played against that kid in middle. I played against that kid in elementary school. I'm from San Jose, California. I mean, yeah, that's a good... it's a good basis of talent. I mean, this is a guy, I think he went to San Diego, University of San Diego, looks like. It just says San Diego, so I'm assuming that's just the private school, not UC San Diego. So he went to the private school and got drafted. It's not going to give me where he got drafted, isn't he? I'll have to look him up on a different thing, but that's crazy that he got traded. So he gets traded for Cameron Maben. So he's in the Marlins organization now. That's crazy. I just noticed. I was like, whoa, hold on. That's a guy I didn't play Little League in elementary school. It was called Pony Ball, so it's a little bit more competitive. You use big barrel bats earlier. You slid into second base, and you can lead off at a younger age. It wasn't Little League. It was a little more competitive, and stats were kept, all that kind of stuff. So, yesterday, the Braves actually did make a deal. The Orioles, they actually did get a deal for Kevin Gausman. So they sent... Kevin Gausman and Darren O'Day actually to the Braves, as the Braves really were trying to rack up their bullpen. They also got Johnny Venters. I talked about that, I think, a little bit on Monday, as that deal was done on Sunday, the Venters deal, to get him over from the Braves, or the Rays, to the Braves, as he actually Johnny Venters came up a Brave, pitched until about 2002, then was out of baseball for like 4 years. Or at least out of playing in the majors, was injured for about 4 years, and comes back with the Rays, I think, last year, and then this year he's pitching well, and back to the Braves he goes. That's interesting. Wow, I just saw that name, Bryson Brigman. I'm like, I know who that is. That sounds familiar. All right, next up is even these minor trades. Hunter Scrivener gets traded to the White Sox for international bonus pool money. This is interesting. It's seemingly new. It seems like this international bonus pool money is being used as a trade piece in a lot of these deals. Actually, some more bigger trades. The Phillies acquired Wilson Ramos from the Rays, which is a big deal for them. I think that was their one weak point, was at the catcher position. So that's a good trade for them. The Diamondbacks trade for Brad Ziegler again. So he's now back on the Diamondbacks. So Brad Ziegler, welcome back to Arizona. The Indians traded for Leonis Martin, who I think that's a great pickup for them. He's a great player. Underproved maybe, but also underrated. As they also get a right-handed pitcher, Kyle Doughty, in that deal. The Rays acquired Tommy Pham from the Cardinals in an interesting trade where the Rays are being sellers and they also kind of buy a player for a couple different prospects to the Cardinals. Also got some international bonus pool money in that deal. And then the Red Sox got Ian Kinsler yesterday in a last-minute deal with the Angels for a couple young pitchers. The Braves were able to acquire Adam Duvall, a good little outfielder, as it's going to help shore up their outfield a little bit, sure, and maybe they're even their bench. I don't know, but they have Kemp and Inciarte. They must have injuries. Kemp, Inciarte, and Marquez seem okay, but you get Adam Duvall in there. He can play first base, too. If you want to give a day off for Freddie Freeman, but they send a bunch of players. They sent Matt Wiesler, who's a good little pitcher. Preston Tucker is a good young outfielder, and a young pitcher, Lucas Sims, also goes over to the Reds from the Braves. And then also Pirates were able to acquire a relief pitcher, Keon Kayla from the Rangers over, as they sent a young left-handed pitcher and a player to be named later in that deal. As we're coming to the end of the segment here, actually, we're going to cut it off and I'll come back and we'll do a couple more of the trades from yesterday, and then we'll start covering the games from yesterday and the day before. So everybody stay tuned and we'll be right back.
This is your ultimate stop for everything sports. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Should I say more? From the NFL, MLB, the NBA, to MMA, it's all in here. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Listen now.
All right, welcome back to GSMC Baseball Podcast on a Wednesday today here, as we're going to finish up going over these trades from yesterday. As there was a bunch of deals done in the last minute yesterday. Like I said, Adam Duvall goes to the Braves. The Yankees were able to get Lance Lynn from the Twins, so that'll help them in their rotation at least a little bit. The Yankees were kind of Yankees are interesting. They were like selling and buying last year. Or I mean, this year they get Lance Lynn in cash considerations. They actually sent Tyler Austin over to the Twins and Lucas Rijo. So Tyler Austin actually been playing a lot for them, first baseman and outfielder. He's a good little player as he's now in the Twins organization. The Yankees also sent out Adam Warren, part of their bullpen, had pitched a lot of innings for them, actually, to the Mariners for international bonus pool money. As this is, again, just seeing this all over the place, this being used as a trade piece, this money, this international bonus pool money, is you're going to see probably a lot of talent being snapped up from overseas coming up this, pretty soon here, as these teams are gearing up and trying to stockpile this money to be able to go get these international players. Another guy, closer for the Blue Jays, Roberto Osuna, is sent to the Astros to help shore up their bullpen. They send Ken Giles, who I'm not surprised gets traded, over to the Blue Jays, as he basically is just flip-flopping. He used to be the closer for them and hasn't been pitching well at all. The Mariners also got Zach Duke from the Twins. I don't know if he's going to start or come out of the bullpen is going to be the question there. Brad Brock goes to the Braves from the Orioles, as they pretty much unloaded their whole bullpen. The Orioles did. They get some international bonus pool money for that. The Yankees also gave away a pitcher for more international bonus pool money to the White Sox a couple days ago. They also sent Chasen Strieve and Giovanni Gallegos to the Cardinals for more money and a first base, and we talked about that a little bit on Monday, as that was pretty much it for the deadline, really, actually. So the big names: Brian Dozier goes to the Dodgers, Chris Archer to the Pirates, Jonathan Scope to the Brewers, Kevin Gausman goes to the Braves. I don't want to miss that one up. I'm pretty sure I said Braves. Yes. And Darren O'Day also to the Braves in that trade as well. So this is not, it's not technically over yet. We still have the waiver deadline is August 31st. So like last year, we saw a Justin Verlander get traded after this deadline passed, because his contract was so crazy that nobody really wanted to claim him off waivers. So he was able to pass through, and the Astros were able to acquire him. So that's, you could do that all the time. You could do that, and it happens a lot. You could do that coming up now. So you can definitely do that. If you are confident the player you want will pass through waivers, obviously that's the big deal. Another thing as well is, you know, the fact that these teams, these trades are all kind of gamblings. They're throwing the chips in the pile. Like I said, there's eight teams in the American, in the National League, all within a few games of first play. I mean, all within a handful of games of the second wild card, as well as the teams all kind of bunched up in that second wild card. There's three teams right now all tied for that second wild card. As I think the National, I mean, we have 2 months left, so it's going to shape itself out. Teams will get hot. Teams will get hot. It'll go fall off a little bit. Obviously, we still have the three division leaders, so there's eight teams plus the three more in the top of the division, of the divisions, but they don't have that solid of cushions. None of them do. I think the biggest division lead is, like, I think, a couple games, maybe, in the National League. A half game. A half game is the biggest lead. The Brewers and the Cubs are tied for first place, which is why you have them in the... in the wild card as well. The Brewers are as a number one wild card team. And then you have the Braves a half game behind the Phillies, and you have the Dodgers and the Rockies a half game behind the Diamondbacks. So, like I said, it's all up for grabs in the National League. The American League, it's more, it's definitely easier to tell. The Astros still holding on to a four-game lead now in the American League West over the Mariners, five over the A's. Cleveland they're pretty good. They're nine games up on the Twins right now. And then the Red Sox have a five-game lead on the Yankees. So, yeah, the American League is pretty much all settled up. The Yankees have, like, a five-game lead over the second wild card, so they're pretty settled into that first wild card. Like, five games is not that much. With 50-plus games still to go, it's really not that much. It's like a couple weeks. You could see some swing and change. But we haven't really seen that much swing and change over the last couple months, really, in the American League. So I'm pretty confident that it's going to stay the same. You might see some movement from the Mariners or A's. They didn't, as the A's actually didn't make any more moves during the deadline. You didn't see them. The Mariners did, though. But some questionable ones. I don't know. Zach Duke, I don't know how much it's going to do. Cameron Maben will help their offense and their outfield some speed, definitely, as well. So that one makes a little bit more sense. All right, let's jump into the games from we'll start on Monday, as we'll start in San Diego. The Giants were able to beat the Dodgers. San Diego. That's not where the Dodgers play. Giants were able to beat the Padres 5-3. I wish they beat the Dodgers. That would have been nice. Dodgers lost, actually, so we'll get there. Giants beat the Padres 5-3, as this one actually went to extra innings. The Giants got three runs early on a Chase Darnot home run. That was his third of the season, as they got a good start from Derek Holland, actually. He went five innings, allowed two runs on four hits, two walks, five strikeouts, a homer allowed. That was to Hunter Renfroe, his eighth of the season, as the Padres were able to prod their way back, get it to 3-3 by the bottom of the eighth inning. And then the Giants actually were able to take the lead in the 12th with a Gorky Hernandez home run, his 13th of the season, and a Buster Posey RBI. It was actually a pop-up that dropped in, and they were actually able to get McCutchen at second base. They got a force out on it on a pop-up. Run scored, though, on the play, and the Giants were able to win 5-3. Red Sox beat the Phillies in extra innings as well, as they got a walk-off win in the bottom of the 13th inning to win it 2-1, as it was a Blake Sweetheart ground rule double to win the game. In the bottom of the 13th there at Fenway, it was a low-scoring affair as both starters pitched well. David Price went eight innings, allowed one run on eight hits, one walk, five strikeouts for him. He gets a no decision. Aaron Nola also was great. Eight innings of one walk, one run allowed, four hits, six strikeouts for him, as they both get no decisions, like I said, and the game was won in extras by the Red Sox. I don't think there were any home runs in this game, as no home runs in that game. The Braves beat the Marlins 5-3 in Atlanta, as Julio Teheran gets his eighth win of the year. He went five innings, allowed three runs on four hits, four walks, four strikeouts, a homer allowed. That was to Brian Anderson, his ninth of the season, a two-run shot. And then Freddie Freeman also added his 18th of the year for the Braves. Acuna Jr. hit his 10th of the year off of Wei and Chen for the Braves, as well as they get the win 5-3. In Minnesota, the Twins beat the Indians 5-4 as they got a walk-off as well in the bottom of the ninth inning on a Mitch Garver double. That guy seems to be Mr. Clutch for this team all over the place. Home runs in this game came from the Indian side. Jose Ramirez actually hit two, his 31st and his 32nd. Yan Gomes hit his 11th of the year, but the Twins get the win 5-4 in extras. I'm sorry, in a walk-off at the bottom of the ninth inning. This one was an extra, though. Rockies drop one to the Cardinals 5-4 as the Cardinals were able to score three runs in the bottom of the seventh inning to tie it up 4-4 there as they got a Matt Carpenter single to knock in those two of the runs to tie it up. And then they got a Marcelo Ozuna walk-off homer in the bottom of the 10th inning, his 13th of the season for the Cardinals. Other home runs came from Jed Jerko, his 8th. And Nolan Arenado, he was the offense for the Rockies. He actually hit a grand slam, his 28th homer of the year. That was the four runs for the Rockies right there, but that's all they could do as they dropped this one 5-4 in extra innings. Rangers beat the Diamondbacks 9-5 as the Rangers scored all their runs. They scored runs in the 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th inning to add up to 9 runs there as they got a home run from Sinsu Chu, actually two of them, his 19th and his 20th of the season. Yordan Odor hit his 10th of the season there as Martin Perez went 5 innings, allowed one run, actually 4 runs. One of them were earned, though. Only one was earned as 3 unearned runs. Wow. In that game on 6 hits, 2 walks, 5 strikeouts, gave up a home run in that game. That was to Steven Souza Jr., his 2nd of the season, a 3-run shot. That likely was those 3 unearned runs right there. That's how it kind of works. But the Rangers get the win, though. 9-5. A's blow out the Blue Jays 10-1 as Edwin Jackson gets his 2nd win of the season. Excellent performance by him. He went 5 2/3 shutout innings, 3 hits, 3 walks, 5 strikeouts as the A's got their bats going in this one. Home runs came from Diaz for the Blue Jays. That's the shortstop for the Blue Jays. Aledmys Diaz, as he was already there as he is now on the Blue Jays. That's his 11th home run of the year for them. And the A's got a home run from Mark Canna, his 14th, and Stephen Piscotty, his 15th of this year for the A's. I'll check it. I don't know. For some reason, I think Diaz got traded, but I think he was traded because he used to be in the Cardinals. Maybe it was during the offseason. I don't know. Gets in my head sometimes. Mariners shut out the Astros. James Paxton was excellent as they get a much-needed win there at home against this is a big series for the Mariners and the Astros as they needed to gain some ground in the American League West. The only run scored on a Nelson Cruz double to make it 2-0, and that's all they needed to do as James Paxton was excellent. 7 shutout innings, 3 hits, no walks, 8 strikeouts for Paxton as he moves to 9-4 now on the year. Astros also got a pretty good start from Gerrit Cole. He allowed 2 runs on 4 hits over 6 2/3 innings pitched, also got 8 strikeouts, a couple of walks for him as we'll move along to the Brewers and the Dodgers to finish off Monday. Brewers get the win 5-2 over the Dodgers as Josh Hader actually gets the win in relief there for the Brewers. We'll see. I mean, I haven't seen the video, but I know that when he came into the game in San Francisco last week, he got booed pretty hard, pretty darn hard by the Giants fans for what happened. Obviously, we know what happened during the All-Star game with his tweets that were found. There was a couple other guys actually around the league. Sean Newcomb of the Braves had some tweets dug up, and as well as Trey Turner of the Nationals had some tweets dug up, and there was statements issued from both those teams and apologies from both the players as they had their Twitter accounts kind of, you know, rummaged around a little bit. I mean, it's free domain, baby. Go and delete your Twitter account. If you're a young player, if you think you said something by accident or when you were in a moment of weakness or when you were too, quote unquote, too young to know better, if that's the case, I know John Hader was 17. These guys were probably in their young teenage years as well when they sent these tweets out. Just go delete the tweets. It's not difficult. Just go press the button. Delete, 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 delete. Just wipe them off there. If you're a prospect for any team, if you're looking to get drafted, just go comb through it or just delete the whole thing. You don't need to archive your tweets. It's kind of a one-time little, oh, here we go. There, I saw it in my feed, and that's gone. When you archive your tweets, they're only there to get dug up again. That's all it is. And if they're negative, if there's any sort of bigotry or negativity, or you said something the wrong way, or you used the wrong word or the wrong phrasing, it's going to get found, and it's going to get commented on, and you're going to get some flack for it. As we'll see if John, I don't know if John Hader got booed in Dodger Stadium. I'm sure he did a little bit, but I don't know. You never know with those Dodger fans down there in LA. But back to this game. Sorry, little soapbox there. But Dodgers got a home run from Manny Machado, his 26th of the season. And the Brewers got one from Eric Thames, his 14th, as this game was decided not that late. The Brewers actually had a 4-1 lead for most of this game. Freddie Peralta only lasted four innings. He must have had a high pitch count. He was at 98 pitches. And then Hader came in and pitched two innings and got the win there for the Brewers. All right, that'll wrap it up for this segment, as we'll come back in the next segment, do Tuesday's games for you. And then in the final one, we'll do the games coming up for Wednesday and Thursday. So everybody stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be, visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
All right, welcome back to GSMC Baseball Podcast on a Wednesday today here. Do I not enunciate enough for you guys? If I talk too fast, just let me know. Just tap me on my shoulder if you really can do that. No, I'm just kidding. Just enunciate. Just talk like this, really deep into the microphone. Make sure you guys can understand every single word that I'm saying. No, just kidding. I'm not going to do that. All right, so Tuesday we go. As the Giants win again, they are on a three-game winning streak. Whoop de frickin' do. that's me, a Giants fan, saying whoop de do. Like, I don't, I'm kind of football season. Let's go. No, I'm kidding. Baseball, though, as Giants win again, 3-2 over the Padres, again in extra innings, as the Padres were able to tie it up in the bottom of the eighth inning before the Giants took the lead and were able to hold on after they scored a run in the top of the 10th inning. The winning pitcher was actually Tony Watson, but the starter for the Giants was Derek Rodriguez. He lowers his ERA even more. He doesn't really have the wins to show for it, but he's went seven more innings, one run allowed, three hits, three walks, seven strikeouts. ERA is a cool 2.59 now. As I mean, how many innings pitches does he have this year? I don't think he's qualified. Yeah, he only has 66 innings pitched. That's not going to work. You have to have as many innings pitched as your team has played, games played, to qualify for the ERA ranks. He is, I mean, a 2.59 ERA and 66 innings of work is still not bad at all for a rookie and a guy who actually came up into the professional baseball as an outfielder and then was converted to a pitcher. Home runs in this game came from Andrew McCutchen, his 11th of the season. The Padres did not hit a homer, as they were only able to scratch across a couple of runs, and they'll lose again. Yankees beat the Orioles 6-3 in New York as Masahiro Tanaka gets his ninth win of the year, but he's got, his ERA is just under 4, but he actually pitched pretty good in this one. He probably lowered his ERA to under 4 to where it is. He went six innings, allowed no runs on three hits, two walks, eight strikeouts for him. Home runs came from Miguel Andujar, his 13th of the season. The Orioles did not hit a homer, as they were beat up a little bit in that game, as Ramirez gave up all six runs in that one. The Cubs drop one to the Pirates. Pirates win 5-4 in Pittsburgh. Jameson Taillon gets his eighth win of the year. They beat John Lester, actually, as Taillon went 6 2/3 innings, allowed 3 runs on 6 7 hits, 2 walks, 2 strikeouts, a homer allowed. That was to Javier Baez, his 22nd of the season. Lester gave up 4 runs over 5 innings of work, gave up a couple homer or a home run to Francisco Cervelli, sorry, enunciate. Gregory Polanco also hit his 19th of the season later in that game, as that was actually to extend that lead out to 5-3. The Cubs actually got another run in ninth, so that home run proved the difference in the game for the Pirates. They win 5-4. As they stay 4 games over 500. Then this happened in D.C. The Mets being the Mets. The Mets got beat by 3 touchdowns, by the way. Did you know that? They got beat by 3 touchdowns in this game. The final score was 25-4. 25-4. The Nationals scored 7 runs in the first inning, and then they would go and score 3 runs in each of the next 4 innings. Oh, yeah, and then they scored 6 more in the eighth. Just, ouch, babe. ERA buster. As, yeah, they couldn't get 3 outs before they scored 7 runs in that game. I mean, Harper doubled, Zimmerman singled, the single by Murphy, Tanner Roark, the starting pitcher, hit a double, scored a run, Rendon singled to make it 7-0 in the first inning. Daniel Murphy hit his 3rd home run of the season. He actually hit his 3rd and his 4th home run of the season. Ryan Zimmerman hit his 6th of the year. The Mets had one of their young players, Jeff McNeil, hit a home run his 1st of the season. Matt Adams hit his 17th of the year. Mark Reynolds hit his 11th of home run of the year. Austin Jackson for the Mets now. Austin Jackson on the Mets. Hit his 1st home run of the year. He was on the Giants all the year. Almost the whole year. Gets traded to the Rangers. And then they cut him. And then he gets picked up by the Mets. And he has a home run at the end of that game to make it 25. It was 25-3. He got it a little closer. He made it 25-4. God forbid. Holy moly. As, I mean, these ERAs must just be wrecked. Tanner Roark got the win. I mean, he went 7 innings, allowed 1 run on 4 hits, no walks, 7 strikeouts. He gave up the home run to McNeil. As you look at this offensive chart for the Nationals, they got 2 doubles from Harper, 1 from Roark, 1 from Rendon, 1 from Soto, 2 triples in this game. They also hit 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 homers in this one against the Mets, as their pitching got pretty run right there, as Steve Matz took the brunt of it, giving up 7 runs before he got 3 outs. Got removed after giving it after 2 outs. All right, the opposite happened in Detroit. Actually, the Tigers and the Reds played a 2-1 ball game. The Tigers winning it 2-1 as Matthew Boyd gets his 6th win of the season. Pitched very nicely, 8 shutout innings for him, 4 runs allowed, 1 hits or 4 hits allowed. Sorry, 4 hits, 1 walk, 7 strikeouts for Boyd, as he was very good. Nico Goodrum hit his 10th home run of the season for the Tigers. The Reds did not hit a homer, as Homer Bailey was a tough luck loser. He was pretty good, actually went the complete game. When you're the road team and you lose and you pitched all 8 innings, there's no bottom of the 9th inning. So he went eight innings, a complete game, three hits, 2 walks, or 2 runs, 1 walk, 6 strikeouts to give him the home run to Goodrum. And that was it. Rays beat the Angels 10-6 in this one. They scored 7 runs in the bottom of the 4th inning to blow that one open. Jake Bowers hit his 8th home run of the year in this one for the Rays, as they got a good start from Stanek to open up that game. Went that 1 inning, and then Tanner Yarbrough came in and pitched 5 innings, actually gave up 6 runs on 9 hits, but he gets the win because the bats came to play for the Rays, as they it looked like a singles attack, but they did have 14 hits in that game. And also only three walks, 14 hits. They were hitting with runners in scoring position. There were definitely some timely hits going on in that game. Especially that 4th inning will help. Over to the Did the Angels hit a homer in this game? Angels got one from Cole Calhoun, his 13th. Mike Trout hit his 30th of the season. So Mike Trout, another 30 home run year for him, as he's got 2 more months in the season left to get to 50. Come on, Mike. But yeah, 30 home runs is pretty good. Phillies beat the Red Sox in Boston as Jake Arrieta gets his ninth win of the season. He shut down that Red Sox lineup very nicely. He went seven innings, allowed one run on six hits, with no walks, seven strikeouts for him. Excellent performance for Arrieta and a very good sign for the Phillies looking ahead into the stretch run to the postseason. No homers in this game whatsoever as the Phillies are able to score their runs on a Jorge Alfaro double and a Scott Kingery sacrifice fly and a Carlos Santana single. That was about it. But that's all they needed. 3-1 in the final. Braves beat the Marlins 11-6 as they scored. Let's see. This box score scored two in the third, five in the fourth, and then one run, single runs in the fifth, sixth, and seventh. They all scored one in the first. So, I mean, that's how you score 11 right there. They get a five-run fourth innings, and it help you out a lot. Home runs in this game came from Ronald Acuna Jr., his 11th of the season. Nick Markakis hit his 12th, and Yoan Camargo hit his 12th of the season as well. The Marlins got one from JT Realmuto, who did not get traded over the deadline, as he is one of those guys they think they want to keep as their part of their core, at least as they're trying to rebuild there in Miami. And that's about it. No pitching lines worth reading in this one. Moving along, the Indians and Twins played. Cleveland gets the win in Minnesota. 6-2 was the final in this one. They got a home run from nobody. The Indians did. The Twins got one from Logan Morrison. Logan Morrison, his 14th of the season for Minnesota, as the Indians got a good start from Trevor Bauer. He went 6 3 innings, two runs allowed, four hits, four walks, three strikeouts, a homer allowed, and that was about it, as he gets his 10th win of the season. Brad And gets the hold. Cody Allen the save, his 21st of the season. Going over to the south side of Chicago, the Royals get a win on the road against the White Sox. They scored two in the fifth, two in the seventh to get the four runs they needed to win 4-2. As Denny Duffy was great, 5 2/3 innings, shutout ball, six hits, four walks, seven strikeouts for him. Home runs came from Brett Phillips, the center fielder for the Royals, got his first home run of the season. And then another young player for the Royals, their DH for the day, was a guy by the name of, I'm trying to get his first name here as it's taking forever, Ryan O'Hearn. There we go. O'Hearn. I'm like, I know his name's O'Hearn. I just wanted to get his first name for you. Ryan O'Hearn hit his first of the year as well, both off of James Shields, as he moves to 4-13 on the season. Just retire. Become a pitching coach. Go do something else. Yeah, 4-13, but he's going to pay a lot of money. I guess he's got probably a nice little apartment in downtown Chicago, so he's probably living just fine. Rockies beat the Cardinals 6-3 in St. Louis on Tuesday as John Gray gets his ninth win of the season. He went in this one 7 1/3 innings of a two-run ball, three runs. One of them was unearned, two earned runs. So that's, remember, earned runs are going to go to your ERA. Unearned runs are going to be either from a pass ball or an error or something that happened around you that was not in your control by your team. So he gets one of them was unearned, but still the win. 7 1/3 innings pitched, two runs, one of them was unearned. So three total, four hits, two walks, five strikeouts, a homer allowed. That was to shocker Matt Carpenter, his 21st of the season, 22nd of the season. I want to short Matt Carpenter. He's a very good player. Love Matt Carpenter. 26 home runs in the year for Carpenter. Rockies got a home run from Charlie Blackmon, his 21st of the year, and Carlos Gonzalez, his 13th of the season, as they win 6-3. D-backs shut out the Rangers 6-0 in Arizona as they got a great start from Zach Godley. They beat Bartolo Colon. Is Bartolo Colon a Hall of Famer? Look at his stats. He's got some stats, and he won a Cy Young Award. It's a question. It's a very good question, Bartolo Colon. And his longevity also goes to show him as well. Goes to show that as well. It's probably something he should be commended for. But back to Godley. I want to give him his due diligence. He gets his 12th win of the season. He's now 12-6. He went seven shutout innings, two hits, one walk, 10 strikeouts as he was dominant there in the desert against the Rangers. Home runs came from A.J. Pollock, his 15th of the season for the D-backs as he's coming back off the DL swinging it, and the D-backs get the win in a shutout fashion. And then there's three more games to go. As I'll finish one, we'll probably do the last two on the other side of the break. So the Astros beat the Mariners 5-2 behind a Charlie Morton start. He's now 12-2 on the year with a 2.90 ERA. Wow, good for Charlie Morton. As he went six innings, allowed two runs on six hits, one walk, eight strikeouts, a homer allowed. That was to Gene Segura, his eighth of the season. The Astros got a home run from Evan Gattis, his 21st, and Josh Reddick, his 11th of the season, as they beat Mike Leake, who gave up three runs over six innings of work. And then the A's beat the Blue Jays 6-2, as we have time to get this one in. I should probably get both of them in. The A's beat the Blue Jays 6-2 on Tuesday. Trevor Cahill gets his third win of the year, as he went six innings, allowed two runs on five hits, two walks, six strikeouts, gave up a home run, and this one to Justin Smoke, his 17th of the season. The A's got a home run from Chris Davis, his 29th of the year, as they win again 6-2, and now are 63-46 on the year for the A's. Good for them. And then the final game of Tuesday was the Dodgers and the Brewers. The Brewers got a shutout win over the Dodgers. 1-0 was the final. Wade Miley was the starter for the Brewers, as he was excellent. Seven shutout innings, two hits, no runs, two walks, five strikeouts for him. There's a thing called shutout innings, Tom. That's how you say it. And the Brewers got their runs on a Lorenzo Cain RBI double to take that 1-0 lead in the third inning. And that's how it ended. 1-0. All right, we'll come back after the break and give you the games and the pitching matchups for the games coming up today and tomorrow, and then we'll probably do some more. If we have some time, we'll do some more talk on the outlook for the last 2 months of the season. It's dog days of August and the stretch run in September. I know that this is the last month of play before the rosters expand. So these guys who have been on the team up in the majors, on the big teams for a while, are grinding out right now. And they got about 2 months to go to see if they can keep playing in October. So everybody stay tuned, and we'll be right back after the break.
Want to know the latest in soccer? Then listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Soccer Podcast. From MLS, the World Cup, and the Premier League, we've got you covered. The latest updates, the hottest matches, and news on the league's top players. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Soccer Podcast.
David Beckham scores the goal to take England all the way to the World Cup Finals.
Listen now.
All right, welcome back to GSMC Baseball Podcast on a Wednesday today here, as we're going to go over the games for Wednesday and for Thursday. Actually, there's a game in progress right now, so, I mean, the show will be uploaded in about probably 30 minutes or less, actually, or so, yeah, probably 30 minutes or so. You'll have the game, and the Mets and the Nationals already have started. The Nationals have got out the gates early again, as they already lead 3-0 in this one. As they were able to get to Noah Syndergaard in the first inning on a Bryce Harper single to knock in a run. And then Anthony Rendon took him deep, a two-run shot, his 16th of the season already. That was in the third inning off Syndergaard there. And then the Nationals are up 3-0 as they need a win. They're 500. They're even 500. 53-53. Major underachievers this year for sure. Continuing on Wednesday, the Yankees and Orioles are going to get started pretty soon. It'll be Sonny Gray for the Yankees against the Orioles, Alex Cobb for them. In Detroit, they're starting pretty soon too. It'll be the Reds and the Tigers again. It'll be Mike Fiers for the Tigers against, the Reds actually did not trade Matt Harvey. I was kind of surprised. They didn't trade Matt Harvey. Maybe they didn't get what they wanted for him, weren't getting what they wanted for him, but they're going to go with Sal Romano today as... that series will wrap up, but maybe get one more tomorrow from Detroit. Indians and Twins will get started pretty soon. Actually, most of these games, they're getting started. And if they're starting right now, they're the last game of the season. It's getaway day. Indians and Twins, it'll be for the... I keep hitting the wrong button, so all of a sudden these games are going to start playing off my phone here. Yep, just like that. Stop. Indians and Twins. Mejia for the for the Indians, it'll be or for the Twins, it's going to be Mejia for the Twins against this game is going to be on Facebook Watch, it looks like, against for the Indians, it's going to be Carlos Carrasco for them against I said Mejia for the Twins. That's going to be Alberto Mejia, the left-hander there for Minnesota. Here we go. Some games that are going to start later in the day. It'll be the Blue Jays and the A's from Oakland. It'll be Marcus Stroman against Sean Manaea. Stroman's 7-9 with a 5.20 ERA. 4-7, sorry, with a 5.20 ERA. Sorry, that audio messed me up, pressing the wrong button. Sean Manaea is 9-7. He has a 3.46 ERA on the season. Astros and Mariners, good little matchup here in Seattle. It'll be Dallas Keuchel against Wade LeBlanc. Keuchel is 8-9 with a 3.60 ERA in the year. LeBlanc 6-1 with a 3.51 ERA. Cubs and Pirates, Cole Hamels making his first start as a Cub. He is 5-9 on the year with a 4.72 ERA. That's with the Rangers this year. He'll face Nick Kingham, who's 5-5 with a 4.80 ERA for the Pirates. In Tampa Bay, it'll be Nick Trepiano for the Angels against Glasnow for the Rays, who actually just was traded over by the Pirates for Chris Archer, part of that Chris Archer deal there. It was Glasnow and it was Austin Meadows. I'm pretty sure that's who the deal was, because Glasnow was in the Pirates organization, but now he's going to be one of the openers for the Rays coming out of the bullpen. So instead of coming out of the bullpen, yeah, Tyler Glasnow, he was part of the Rays organization now, but he was part of the Tigers. He's a 24-year-old young guy. Has had some success with the Pirates, if I could speak correctly, for once. But he's going to be one of those openers for the Rays. They're still running with that whole deal there. But I mean, the Rays are 54-53. Can't knock them. They're a game over 500. The Marlins and Braves, they are going to have another game in Atlanta. It'll be Anibal Sanchez for the Braves against Pablo Lopez for the Marlins. Lopez is 2-2 with a 5.34 ERA. Sanchez 5-3 with a three ERA. Royals and White Sox again. Jacob Junis against Dylan Covey. Junis is 5-11 with a 5.06 ERA. Covey 4-6 with a 5.40 ERA. Bats can feast. I guess it's our ERAs over 5. Rockies and Cardinals, Kyle Freeland against Luke Weaver. Freeland is 9-6 with a 3.13 ERA. Weaver is 6-9. That's interesting. With a 4.70 ERA on the year. And then Brewers and Dodgers, the shorter slate on Wednesday, obviously. As we're not teams with some. Oh, actually, no. Wednesday usually isn't our short day, but we actually are having a short day because some teams are taking days off on Wednesdays these days, as well as Thursdays. So we'll probably have a short slate on both of these. For both those games, or both those days, as the Brewers and Dodgers finish up the slate on Wednesday, though. Chase Anderson against Rich Hill. He's not the guy from Workaholics, Blake Anderson. No, Chase Anderson is 7-7 with a 3.69 ERA on the year against Rich Hill, who is 4-4 with a 3.82 ERA on the year for the Dodgers. And then on to Thursday, I'm seeing, because I don't feel like counting, I'm kind of being lazy. Today is no longer July 31st, it is August 1st, and by the way, happy August, everybody. I didn't say that to you guys. It is no longer July, so yeah, 12 games today, 12 games tomorrow, so three short, as usual, because some teams taking days off. It's actually six teams taking days off each of those days. And then Thursday, we get started again. Giants start a four-gamer with the Diamondbacks in Arizona. It'll be Madison Bumgarner against Zach Greinke. A great little matchup here down in the desert. Bumgarner is 3-4 on the year with a 3.06 ERA. Greinke 12-5 with a 2.96 ERA on the year for the D-backs. He's coming off a great start his last time out. The Angels and Rays, they are going to play again in Tampa Bay. It'll be Andrew Heaney, the Rays, as they probably will pick some reliever to start the game for them. They don't have a starter announced yet. Rockies and Cardinals, it'll be for the Cardinals, it'll be Miles Mikolas against the starter for the Cardinals is Antonio Senzatella, as he's going to get another start there. He's 4-3 with a 5.01 ERA. Mikolas is 11-3 with a 2.83 ERA. He's been the bright spot for the Cardinals this year. I mean, they're still around. They're 54-53, very close to the Giants record who the Giants are 55-54, one game over 500, as those teams are kind of right in the middle of the pack there in the wild card for the National League. Moving on, Royals and White Sox again from the South side. It'll be Ronaldo Lopez against Keller that's Brad Keller for the Royals, as Keller is 4-4 with a 3.43 ERA. Lopez 4-9 with a 4.57 ERA. In DC, the Reds come to town to visit their Nationals. It'll be Tyler Molly against Max Scherzer. Molly is 7-8 with a 4.53 ERA. Scherzer is 14-5, pretty good. As he's got a chance to make it to 20 games. He's got a 2.30 ERA on the season. Marlins and the Phillies. It'll be Trevor Richards against Nick Pivetta for the Phillies. Pivetta is 6-9 with a 4.85 ERA. Richards 3-5 with a 4.06 ERA on the year for the Marlins. Braves and Mets. The Braves have not announced a starter yet, but whoever it is, it'll be they'll be facing Jason Vargas. He's 2-6 with a 8.36 ERA on the year for him. He'll look to get that down with a couple of shutout innings, hopefully. And then the marquee series of the weekend, the Yankees venture over to Fenway Park to get started in a major four-game series from Fenway in Boston. And the first game will be CC Sabathia against Brian Johnson, the battle of the left-handers there from Fenway tomorrow, as that'll be a big series, and we'll definitely be paying close attention to that one. They play all weekend, so a big four-gamer. As the Red Sox will be hosting the Yankees there, looking to maybe extend out their lead a little more. I mean, put this whole AL East race to bed, maybe in one fell swoop. But yeah, CC Sabathia is 6-4 with a 3.53 ERA. Johnson's 1-3 with a 3.45 ERA. And this is a four-game series, so it's really going to show you. I think this. If any series is going to show you the disparity between the Yankees rotation and the Red Sox rotation, this will do it. I know the Yankees, their rotation is so bad. Their rotation is so bad, they had to go out and get Jay Happ from the Blue Jays, who's actually had a decent season. And then they also went out and got Wade Miley, not Wade Miley. They wish they had Wade Miley, the guy who kind of looks like Wade Miley, Lance Lynn. They got Lance Lynn from the Twins, who signed with the Twins the day before the season started, it seemed like, and turned down deals, and he hasn't really been that good this season. So good luck with those guys. I'm serious. They're not big names. It's not DeGrom. It's not Hamels has actually had some postseason experience. I mean, I'm just waiting for the Yankees to blow up in their face, honestly. Call me a hater all you want, but just know that I'm not misguided. Orioles and Rangers from Texas. It'll be Andrew Cashner against Yovani Gallardo. Cashner is 3-9 with a 4.33 ERA. Gallardo is 5-1 with a 6.26 ERA on the year. In Chicago, the Cubs come to town to face the Cubs. The Padres come to town to face the Cubs. The Cubs are already there. Padres and Cubs from Wrigley Field. It'll be Mike Montgomery against Erlen for. I'm sorry, it's Robbie Erlen for the Padres. Erlen is 1-3 with a 3.47 ERA. Montgomery is 3-4 with a 4.03 ERA. And then the final two games, Brewers and Dodgers from Dodger Stadium, finishing up that series. It'll be Ulysses Chacin against Clayton Kershaw. Chacin's 10-3 with a 3.45 ERA. Kershaw 4-5 with a 2.52. And then in Seattle, it'll be the Blue Jays and the Mariners. The Blue Jays have not announced a starter yet for tomorrow, but it'll be Felix Hernandez for the Mariners, who's 8-9 with a 5.58 ERA on the season. All right. That'll wrap it up for the show today, as we covered a lot. We talked about everything that's happened in the last 2 days in the action, the baseball, actual games. We've done a lot of trade talk, a lot of outlook for the season. I mean, I've kind of badmouthed the Yankees, as I always find a way to do it throughout this show. But, I mean, pay attention. Pay attention. I might prove me wrong, Yankees. You got four games. Figure it out. The thing is, if you get 3 out of 4, that's a 2-game swing right there. That's big. That's big. We're still with 60 games to play. That's a big swing. You get 2 out of 4. You can. My thing is, you need 3 out of 4. You need 3 out of 4. If you split, it's a wash. If you win 3 out of 4, you get 2 games out of it. If you sweep, you get 4. Obviously, so you can get 4, 2, or nothing, or you can drop. Obviously, the 2 games or the 4 games as well. So we'll see what happens. It's going to be a great series. I can give it. Actually, I kind of want to look at the starters, as I'm sure they have the probables for the rest. We'll talk about it for sure on Friday, deeply going deeply into it. into the series, especially. But I want to look at the outlook for the series as we have a couple of minutes at the end of the show here. Tomorrow it'll be actually tomorrow is one of the more, because Rick Porcello hasn't pitched that well. He's pitched okay, and he'll face Severino, who's coming off of a kind of a weak, one of his more weak starts, or a string of a couple rough starts for him. So that'll be interesting, as you'll have actually the more marquee matchup tomorrow with Porcello and with Severino on the mound. And then you have the battle of the trade acquisition, the deadline deals. And it'll be Jay Happ against Nathan Eovaldi. And that'll go to show you, and actually, well, they both have been very good. Eovaldi has a better ERA, but that's over less time because he just came back from Tommy John surgery a month ago with the Rays and then got traded. Happ has been doing it all year. He's 11-6 with a 4.05. And then on Sunday, if they have the starters announced for that game already, I do want to look at that really quickly. I'm assuming David Price against Tanaka on Sunday, as we see that'll be this, of course, the Sunday night game. It'll be Tanaka against, so the Yankees are missing Sale, which is probably a good thing for them. They're missing Chris Sale, but they are going to get David Price on Sunday against Tanaka. So big series. Big series. I mean, you got Sabathia, Severino, J-Hap, and Tanaka. That's basically what you're going to probably run with during the postseason. If you do make it to a longer five game, you make it to the ALDS, and then you have Brian Johnson, who's not going to pitch in the postseason. Brian Johnson, Porcello, who probably will, Eovaldi, who probably will, maybe out of the bullpen, and then David Price, who likely will as well. All right, well, we'll wrap it up for the show today, as we'll come back on Friday and do some more talk, especially on this Red Sox-Yankees series. We'll have a game in the books already that we're going to play tomorrow, so we'll have a game to talk about, and then we'll obviously preview the games out for Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So everybody have a good middle of your week. We'll be back on Friday, and we'll talk to you later. Bye.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Baseball Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.